Okay, well, here we have Wendy Chamberlain from Chamberlain Property Advocates, and boy, do we have a bit to talk about today. Good afternoon, Wendy. How are you?
Hi, Vilma. I am well. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Weather's not looking too flash today nor tomorrow.
It's a bit cold, isn't it?
Yeah, shocking. But most of all, we've got a few things to tackle today. But let's start off with the newly proposed short-term accommodation changes and how the industry has reacted to that, and also the rental crisis has exacerbated by all government taxes. So let's give us an understanding of what's happening there.
That's right, Vilma. Yeah, so recently the Victorian government has announced yet another tax that they're going to introduce.
Yep.
They're calling it the Airbnb tax, and it's on short-term accommodation. And they're looking to bring this one in as of the 1st of January 2025. Has it been received? Not very well.
No.
Because people in the industry, well, not even just in the real estate industry, I think the people in the general public, in tourism, they're seeing how this has potential knock-on effects for them, and nothing about it really is screaming, this is wonderful. Because basically what they're looking to do is they're proposing a 7.5% Airbnb tax on short-term accommodation, which means that the likelihood is that will be passed along to the person booking that accommodation, which is going to then affect families, mums and dads, just trying to have a holiday, that kind of thing. But more than that, if you think about where these properties are located, then it's going to have an ongoing or a knock-on effect for tourism. So the government is granting local councils and owners' corporations new powers, including the ability to ban having short-term accommodation at all. So the problem that we see here is that where there's that kind of accommodation is totally banned in an area, so let's look at regional areas, what happens if there's that accommodation is taken away and there's no major hotels or anything in that area? But additionally to that, I think people need to consider the people that work within those industries. And we're talking tour operators, cafes, restaurants, anything along those types of industry. Sometimes the people that are working within those industries are folks that are a younger demographic who are your renters. And so the two do go hand in hand into how they will be affected, because when you cut out the short-term accommodation market, which is what this is going to end up doing, then you're removing that from areas from a tourist perspective. So tourists are not going to go to an area where they can't get accommodation because they can't afford to stay at a hotel, whereas short-term accommodation can be more affordable for them. Then it's going to affect entire livelihoods and businesses in those areas, including affecting people that rent as well.
Wow. That's certainly going to be a big change to a lot of people.
Well, it is going to be. And the thing is, people don't see how I talk about real estate as a very finely tuned ecosystem. And if you move one piece of the puzzle, it has a knock-on effect on other things which may not be expected. Now, some of us can see what's going to happen, and this is what industry people have, the REIV have come out and said, this is not going to achieve what the government is thinking it will. So the government have said that they are putting this tax on because they want short-term accommodation homes released into the long-term rental accommodation, because it's their way, they say, of relieving this rental crisis that we have, because we have more renters than homes available. That's the problem at the moment, is there's not enough accommodation for people to rent. And so the government thinks that imposing a 7.5% tax will cause people to release these homes from short-term accommodation and they'll decide to put them into the long-term rental pool. Well, number one, a lot of short-term accommodation is not designed to be long-term accommodation. They're different products and they are deliberately created that way. So what might be a great short-term accommodation may not be a long-term accommodation option. It just doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think there's been a lot of thought process put into this. Additionally, they're assuming that they're going to go back into the rental pool. They may be getting sold. And this is the other aspect of the rental crisis that we're seeing with, we're talking about the Airbnb tax, but also the other big major tax that's come in that's affected the market is land tax. So land taxes for many people have gone through the roof. And as a result of that, we're seeing many landlords or rental providers making the decision to sell their properties because it's become untenable. And we're talking about mum and dad investors here. We're not talking about huge portfolio holding landlords. It's just your average mum and dad who might be living in their own home, which they're generally paying off, and then they've got another investment that they've undertaken because they're just trying to get ahead. They're trying to earn a little bit of money, perhaps have something to leave their kids, and they're not able to afford it anymore, or it's just not viable. And so those homes are coming on the market and they're getting sold. And I know this because when I'm speaking to real estate agents, they're saying anywhere of 60% plus of the sales stock right now is coming in off landlords just needing to sell their properties for whatever reason. What I think the government doesn't realise is that they think that these properties are getting sold so that other people can misstep into them, but they're not going back into the rent pool. They're not always going back into the rental pool. And so where you had people renting and living in homes, those homes are getting sold and they're not being available anymore for those renters. So there's fewer homes available for renters, and this is what is causing the problem.
Yes, it's quite a concern. It'd be very interesting to see in the next 3 months. I wouldn't even say six because I think it'll be diabolical by then, but it'll be curious to see how it will pan out in the next 3 months, most definitely. Well, let me say this, now that spring is just around the corner, what are you seeing regarding homes for sale and the market for the balance of 2024, and also what are the prices doing, and has there been any increase in the number of homes for sale, also due to all of what's happening as well?
Yes. So auction clearance rates, depending on whose data you look at, Domain had a clearance rate of 62%, and realestate.com.au showed a clearance rate of 58%. And this is off around about 1,000 auctions that took place over the weekend. So it's a great pulse of the market that you can take by looking at the auction clearance rates and what they are doing. So when we're in a seller's market, which means it's quite a buoyant market for sellers, generally the auction clearance rates are up around the 70-80% mark. When we're in a buyer's market or moving into a buyer's market, the auction clearance rates are around the 60% mark. So if we're low 60s, early 50s, we are moving into a buyer's market, which means there's opportunities for buyers now because more stock is coming onto the market due to landlords looking to sell their properties. But also traditionally, being the spring selling season, because we are now in September, so we have started the spring selling season, it is traditionally when more people put their homes on the market. But the pace of growth is actually slowing, and the from Melbourne, the total listings right now are about 25% higher than they have in the previous 5 years. So what has been underpinning the market on prices generally, it's supply and demand. So where there is a more demand than supply, well, then prices will be buoyed up. So we are seeing more homes come onto the market, but we are coming off the back of several years of there not being enough homes available for people. But having said that, the Melbourne price is down 0.2% for August. We're down 1.2% for the quarter. And then we're down 1% over the past 12 months. But I think one of the other interesting things is from the start, the onset of when COVID started, which was 2020, to now, our prices in Melbourne are down 4.9%.
Wow. Well, that's a bit when you think about it. I mean, it's still quite high.
It is quite high. So there's been, because what happened was when COVID started, after there was initial what's going on, we're not sure, then the market absolutely took off, and it took off for a couple of years and then it pulled back a bit. But the situation we are in now in 2024 as we head into 2025 is that we've got all these other bits and pieces and things going on. Cost of living is really starting to bite for people. They are really having trouble with the cost of things, and that has a knock-on effect for everything. So in relation to the budget someone might have that they wish to spend on a property, they may not want to spend as much money, but additionally, they may not via their borrowing and trying to get the money from a financial institution or a bank, the banks may not be prepared to lend them as much money as well. So what tends to happen is that properties in the lower price brackets still can be quite buoyant and so forth, but homes in higher price brackets may not be as active in the market with sales.
Gee, it's really taking its toll, that's for sure. Now, yes. Well, I think we've covered the Airbnb taxes, and yeah, that's certainly going to hit a lot of people quite hard. Now, the rental crisis is still hitting the economy quite hard, and I wanted to ask you, consistently hearing that there is a rental problem at the moment and not enough homes and huge spikes in rents, which are really out of control, which I've heard on the grapevine. So have things improved, and what then do we see with availability for affordable of rentals?
Well, it's an interesting conversation, Vilma, because Melbourne's annual change of rents, so over the 12 months to now, both house and unit prices, because they're two sort of different markets that operate, the house versus the unit, they're both up 7% over the past 12 months from a rental perspective. And rents have started and continue to go up, because when there is, again, it goes back to supply and demand, where there's not enough houses for rent, then there is competition for them. And you'll see, you've probably seen on the news, there's long lines of renters looking through houses, talking 30, 40, 50 sets of groups trying to rent these properties. And if they're not available, then what are they supposed to do? And so when you dovetail that into what is going on with the various taxes and expenses that the government are imposing on people that own property, and they're making the decision that it's no longer for them for whatever reason, and add into the mix how there's been an absolute turnaround in relation to the amount of rights that a renter has. Now the rental providers have very few rights in relation to managing their own properties, and it's also one of the reasons why many rental providers are saying, look, this is just too hard and I'm going to sell the property. So where a property gets sold and is removed from the rental pool and doesn't get put back into the pool, and this is happening because I know, because we work with lots of first-time buyers and we are buying these types of properties for our first-time buyer clients. But it means that for the renters, they're being displaced, they're losing their home, and then they're having to basically compete with dozens and dozens of other people to find accommodation. And there has been a slight uptick in share houses, that kind of thing. And it's probably because people aren't able to actually find a house to live in. And I think the government needs to really have a look at this, because they have done a wonderful job of pointing the finger at your mum and dad investor who has a property for rent, and even your short-term accommodation providers that we've talked about, but they're not actually actioning their own policies and commitments that they said that they would do, which is building more affordable and social housing. They are basically, there's crickets going on there. So what do we do about that?
Gee, it's getting tough, that's for sure. Well, we'll just have to sit and wait and pan it out and just see what happens. But the renting crisis, you know, the rents that are people paying wouldn't even, their wage wouldn't even cover it in some areas in Melbourne. So, yeah, it's not good. So Now,
I agree.
Yes. So tell us now about the new podcast, Mama's Property Mummerdom, and the adventures in real estate, so people can access it and listen in.
Yes, I have my podcast. We have new episodes going live every Friday, so the latest episode has dropped, and I share my adventures in real estate. So I've been buying and selling real estate for 28 years, and there's a whole lot of shenanigans that go on, and I just share stories about things that I have seen and experienced over all of these years, and there's always a new episode and a new adventure every single week.
Now, that's on every Wednesday on Facebook at 1 o'clock, is that right?
That's right. So we have a live on our social channels, so Facebook, Instagram, et cetera, at 1 o'clock, and then the podcast episodes drop on Fridays at 11 a.m. And so if you just want to pop it in your ears while you're busy out walking the dog, then you can listen to the latest adventures. And the episode that we've done today is about auction bidding tactics. How to bid at auctions to win a property.
Yes, well, okay, well, that would be fantastic. Now, if you're wanting a free ebook, you can go to the website, and it is chamberlainadvocates.com.au/northwestfm, please. And if you want to make an inquiry or you've got some questions you want answered, well, you can go to inquire@chamberlainadvocates.com.au. Now, also online mentoring program, Get Started in Property. Tell us how that's all going.
Yes, I have a program for anybody that is looking to learn how to buy a property and just do it step by step at their own pace. So if they go to getstartedinproperty.com.au, we currently have the wait list before we launch the program. And it is a step-by-step, self-paced mentoring program where we show you exactly all of the moving parts that you need to know about and learn so you can get yourself in a position and be confident to go and buy a property.
Fantastic. And that's absolutely wonderful to hear that, because I think certain people might need a little bit of brushing up their skills, and don't get too emotional. You know, think about what you're doing. It's a big purchase, and a lot of people get carried away with emotions. So just be very
careful.
Yeah, they do. Well, I think with any purchase, really, people get emotional when they want it, so to speak. Now, the buyer's advocate and selling advocate, how crucial is that for someone that is maybe their first time buying a property, or people that need assistance? How does that all sort of work together hand in hand?
Well, it is very important, Vilma, because we recently worked with clients who were downsizing, and they had not purchased a property for 40 years, so they didn't have any idea what to do. Mm. So it's for people that are not confident in and negotiating and dealing with real estate agents, because a lot of people, that's not what they're good at. And so we are your independent, impartial voice, and we are there protecting your rights and representing you. Because when you think about it, when someone is selling a house, they've got the real estate agent representing them. But you as the buyer, who's there representing you and making sure that your interests are looked after? And that's what we do. So we will negotiate to buy a property for you. If it's going to auction, we will bid at auction, employ various of our strategies, because I've got to read the play of how the auction is going. And we just remove that stress from people, because they know that they're in safe hands working with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and how's it going for you this weekend with auctions and all of that?
Well, I've actually, I'm taking some people through a property that we're selling today, so fingers crossed. Yeah, it's interesting at the moment. Let's see how the auctions go on the weekend.
Yes, well, okay. Well, obviously it sounds like you've got a very busy weekend for yourself.
Yes, looking forward to it.
Good on you. Well, look, thank you, Wendy, once again. We'll speak soon, and thanks for keeping us up to date with what's happening in the world of Let's Talk Property, and thank you always for your time, and let's speak very, very soon.
Thanks, Vilma. There's always adventures to share, that's for sure.
No, I'm sure you'll get some this weekend.
I'm sure I will.
Have a great afternoon. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Vilma.
Bye-bye.